Well, the season comes to an end in, I wouldn't say glorious fashion. This was two pretty average football teams, both around 6-6, 5-7 on the season. And they played that way. It was an ugly game on both sides of the ball. Lots of turnovers, lots of mistakes, a decent amount of scoring. Some good hits, a lot of fights, a lot of unsportsmanlike penalties, a lot of penalties in general.
What a wrap-up this is.
Florida State.
Some passes were completed.
I mean, it was just a crazy game, man. Yeah. There was more drama in that football game than there had any right to be.
Yeah.
With two teams who were just trying to become bowl eligible. Florida State comes up short, 27-24. They were down by 17 points in the fourth quarter. Not because Florida was playing great, but because Florida State kind of collapsed on special teams, made some big mistakes, and the offense didn't cash in on some opportunities. But all in all, Florida State comes up short. They end the season 5-7. A lot of emotions from Mike Norvell and the coaching staff and the players because their season comes to an end. But, you know, again, I don't know that this changes too much of what you felt about this team's progress from that 0-4 start.
No, I mean, say they win this game 24-21. I mean, you barely beat a 5-7 team. You know what I mean? You still don't feel like this team is incredible because it's not. But you know it's better. You know it's better than it's been. And that was, I mean, it was just, again, emphasized today. This is not a good football team, but it's a program that's getting better. And that's what you're looking. There's plenty of things you have to work on. You know, special teams chief among them. I mean, again, For a guy that preaches special teams, if this special teams team was elite, like he's been everywhere else, they might have 7 or 8 wins. They certainly would have won today, probably. I mean, I've never seen an onside kick like that, Ira. I mean, it was just it was an unsuccessful onside kick. Let's just say it. We don't have to get into detail. You saw it. But overall, when you look at the totality of the season, you know, you would say it's a disappointing season. You went 5-7. So at no point is going 5-7 at Florida State okay. Mike Norvell said as much. Jordan Travis was devastated, which isn't that good to see. You know what I mean? Like, isn't it, like, too often these last 3 or 4 years, it felt like losses kind of just bounced off guys. It doesn't bounce off this head coach, and it certainly doesn't bounce off these players and that quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Jordan Travis said this was the most upset and saddest he's ever been after a loss. And it's a game where I know Jordan Travis is going to take grief from people because that's what happens in his life.
That would be crazy.
But he had over 300 yards of offense. I mean, he was really the only reason they're even in that game for the most part. And, you know, you come up short. But he plays through a shoulder injury that caused him to leave. And when you saw what happened. He comes out of the game. They get 3 drives without him, and we saw what happened with that offense. And what if I were to tell you? What if I were to tell you that at one point they weren't sure that Jordan Travis was the?
Yeah, it's odd, right? It's odd. I mean, you know, I don't know the pivot, the turning the double play from shortstop that Mackenzie Milton tried. What wasn't his best moment? But look, I do think there is an impact that Mackenzie Milton made on this program. Maybe more than anything, the most important thing is maybe teaching Jordan Travis how to carry himself as a quarterback, how to study more. How to really study and dive into a game plan. There are plenty of things he has to get better at as too. But yeah, man, they were nothing without Jordan Travis in this game. I hope he doesn't get any grief at all because you saw what the alternatives were. Now you just hope that he gets better players around him, and he should. You know, defensively, you know, Emory Jones kept them, I thought, in the game in the first half. They Florida State couldn't get off the field except when Emory Jones threw him the ball. But he did do that a lot, so that helped. And they did make some – I mean, the play by Brownlee in the end zone, that's a nice play to undercut that route. But, you know, and Deloach was – you know, I don't know. No, he threw it right to Kalen Deloach. Still, he was in the right place. It's fine. When the Richardson kid came in, I thought that gave Florida some life, and the running game became more – I don't know if potent is the right word. It's not like they were
marching up and down the
field.
I'm not taking away – a whole lot from a defense that gets 3 turnovers in the first half. If you do that, whether or not they threw it to you or not, you had to do things coverage-wise to put yourself in those positions. So I'm not dismissing Florida State getting 3 turnovers. I think
that's a lot of wagons and stuff driving by us. Are they getting ready for a concert?
That's a credit to them. Maybe
Garth back?
It's credit to them, I think, in the first half. But the special teams, to me, the special teams was what turned the game. It's you know, Florida State goes to punt. Mastromano punts at 35 yards down the middle of the field.
Line drive like a rope, like a frozen rope down the middle of the field.
It had more on it, I think, than that Milton pass. And then they return it 15, 20 yards, then get a targeting on top of it.
Yes. So they got the ball at the
40. You were punting from your 35, and they end up getting it at your 40.
Yeah, yeah. And there was another punt where he wouldn't have punted for a first down in the first half. And I think you actually got a stop after that. The special teams were terrible.
And then, so then that gives them a short field to get a field goal. Then the next time, they muff a punt return. They pinned, Mastromano actually had a good punt.
Yeah.
pinned him down at the 1 yard line. Florida has to punt from inside their 10. Kid gets off a 60 yarder.
Yeah, Ron Stark all
and
of a sudden.
Pokey Wilson drops a fair catch with nobody within 20 yards of him.
Yeah, he batted it towards the oncoming players. And yeah, that was to
and
me.
And that sets up a touchdown. Yes. Now all of a sudden it's 17-7. Yeah, yeah, in a game that Florida's offense
I
really
thought that was the. I thought that was probably the pivotal play of the game. Number one, the punt is great. Even if he catches it, he's flipped the field. But, yeah, because you think you're getting the ball around midfield, and even if he fields it, it's the 25 or 26. Now, you don't have to call for a fair catch in that spot. They have to get so much better at that stuff, the little stuff. Like, there's no reason to be calling for a fair catch. The good news when somebody punts at 62 yards
you should be
is
able to
he
return.
Has absolutely outkicked his coverage, much like Ira in the wedding game.
Exactly.
He outkicked his coverage, and it doesn't matter because you called for a fair catch with nobody near you. They have to go back to the drawing board completely, hit reset on everything special teams-wise. And another play that was big was coming out of the second half. I think it was the opening kickoff. You get a block in the back, a crazy hold. So you start the drive at the 8. And that was a 62-yard drive that ended with no points.
There were a lot of bad officiating. There's a lot of bad officiating in this game because it was an ACC crew, and they were freaking awful. They were worse than the play on the field. They were worse than the play on the field. They were.
They had no idea
what they were doing. But that call on that hold was unbelievable. Florida State's one of their backup tight ends on kick return, literally just grabs the guy like in a bear hug. I mean, how could that ever have been the on a return inside your own 20-yard line?
So you're saying they got that call right?
They got that call right.
I thought that actually the officials overall weren't terrible. There is a play I won't go into too much because I don't know how much it really mattered, but it's ridiculous. It's a sign. It's a symptom of something that's wrong. So the kid keeps running without his helmet on. That's a personal foul. They go back to the 20. At the end of that play, and I want to get into this in a second, there were way too many personal fouls by Florida State.
Yes.
Norvell preaches a lot about discipline, composure, keeping it, poise.
They lost it. Yeah.
The Cooper gets a penalty that costs them points because it offsets their or maybe they throw an interception right after that anyway. But you're playing
a team that doesn't have a head coach. They're an interim head coach.
Yeah.
They're not going to be disciplined.
Yes.
And Florida State just fell for it.
They kept falling for it. But anyway, so on that play, he runs without a helmet. So it's a 15-yard penalty. But Jamie Robinson on the same play. By the way, Jamie Robinson had 18 tackles. He was, other than the touchdown he gave up, he was awesome. Jamie Robinson gets a personal foul after the play. So it starts off first and goal at the 10 is what the setting is, what it's supposed to be, and what it said on TV. The yard marker never moves from the 3. So on third and goal from the 5, Anthony Richardson runs for 2.5 yards, just gets by the yard mark at the 3. They signal first down. That should have been fourth down. I don't know that Florida was going to kick a field goal there to go up 20-7. They might have gone for it anyway. They would not have run the play they ran, and Florida State's defense would have not have looked completely demoralized because they gave up another first down. It would have been fourth and goal. And it's stuff like that that you wonder, how does that happen? And also, I mean, it's just the number one error there is the officials. That's just I was saying it for 3 minutes. Like, they've screwed this
up.
It's
ridiculous.
The yard marker's right there, and it shouldn't have been anywhere.
And, well, one side of the field, they took away the yard
marker.
Because
they knew what they were doing.
The other side of the field left it there, and it confused the refs.
But old Billy Joe and Joey Bob were like, I guess they got to get to the 3, even though this series started at the 10. So then they score on the next play to go up 24-7 and almost put the game away. It didn't turn out to be that way. But also, I need a coaching staff in a press box, in their coach's box, to understand that there's been a mistake made, a game management mistake, and tell their head coach, hey, the yard marker is wrong. This should be fourth and goal. Call timeout if you have to, just to get the officials' attention. You have to make sure that it's fourth and goal. That's stuff that has, it's a new coaching staff. I mean, it's, second year. Maybe there's some GAs up there that don't feel like they can say something, but somebody's got to say something.
Yeah, I'm not going to get mad at the position coaches who are up in the box necessarily, because there's a lot going on, especially the defensive coaching staff when they're on defense in that situation. But somebody has to be, just like in basketball, sometimes you'll see a basketball team have somebody who keeps track of fouls on the sideline, keeps track of the clock stoppages. You have to have somebody to take care of that, because that should not have happened. It was terrible officiating, but it shouldn't have happened anyway. But it was fitting for this game. Again, yeah. Florida State, their season comes to an end, 5-7. We talked to Jermaine Johnson. We talked to Jordan Travis. We talked to Jamie Robinson. They were emotional. Mike Norvell was very emotional after this game. I think they felt like they won 5 of the
last 7.
Especially
when he got that question interrupted.
There are great days ahead for Florida State football. I promise you that. Right? And it's because of those guys that are in there.
Mike, Yeah, he was on a roll,
and
yeah.
and then somebody interrupted him.
Came to a screeching halt. But you know, he did talk about. I mean, it was as emphatic as Mike Norvell has ever been. I thought about this team. We are on the right track. We are going to win football games. We're going to be successful. And when we get there, we're not going to stop.
Yeah,
that was. I mean, that was like that was. He believes it.
Yeah, I do, and I think I do too. There's a lot to like. The bones, the guts of this program has gotten so much better. It really is. It has improved immensely, drastically from last year to this year. There's still some game stuff and some game slippage and maybe some offensive game plan stuff that you wonder exactly what's going on. But that in special teams is a disaster. But you got to figure that. But you got to figure that will be worked out. The main thing when you're building a program is to build belief and build a culture. And I do think that has happened. Whether they won this game 27-20. I mean, this isn't really much different than the game they just won. You know, when you're not a good football team and you're playing other not good football teams, a lot of times it comes down to a couple plays in the fourth quarter. You didn't make it this week. You made the one you had to make last week. You made the one you had to make against Miami. But that's, you know, their record is about what it should be other than the Jacksonville State game. Now, look, this should be a bowl team. There's 80 teams that go to a bowl. If they did what they were supposed to do back in September, this would have been this is a 6-6 football team, which I think is their record. But last year they were so bad. So this year you can see the improvement that's been made. And I feel like they go into next season for the first time in a long time knowing who their quarterback is and feeling pretty good about it.
Well, and I think the other thing is there's obviously a lot of disappointment about not going to a bowl game, about losing to your rival. But on the flip side, of these last eight games, since you started 0-4, these last eight games, you went 5-3, and two of the losses were here by a field goal and a Clemson in a one-score game that you led in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Those aren't
great. And the other one was a flu game.
So it's not like those are great teams right now. Clemson's not a great team. This is certainly not a great team.
Oh, boy.
But compared to where you were 2 years ago, I mean, it just shows that you're much closer. Mike Norvell, kind of one of the closing comments he made was at 6 in the morning, he'll be on a flight to go recruiting.
Where do you think he's going? He's going to my neck of the woods?
He's
going to go to Atlanta area and see a kid out there?
Might not be a bad idea. But he talked about that and the transfer portal and improving that roster. They can't spend much time dwelling on this because – 2022 is obviously a huge year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it would have been, more than anything, it just would have been really cool. Like, I think the proof, the hay was already out of the barn as far as the improvements we had seen.
Hay doesn't leave a barn. Horses leave a barn.
Hay stays. So the hay was already in the barn. The horses were out the gate. You guys know what I'm saying. Come on. It's been a long day. We already knew this program was better. We knew this team was better. It's just disappointing that they had a chance to make some history and to finish it off with a win over your rival, coachless rival, with their fans not even really into the game for much of the game. They got into it when it was time. But, you know, when it was third quarter and they started to get on a run. But you had a chance to kind of take control of the game. And it feels like you squandered an opportunity there to really finish off this season with a nice win. But at the same time, this is Florida State, man. It's not like it's Gasparilla or bust. This season, you know, there are bigger things and better things hopefully ahead for this program. It's a bummer that you don't get to go to a bowl, especially because it would have been such a remarkable turnaround. But we all think the program is heading in the right direction regardless of that. Learn to catch a punt, please.
It's also a bummer that we won't see Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, and some of those guys again. But they gave it a great run.
Who else?
I mean, there's some other guys.
Devontae Love Taylor, you know what?
Devontae Love,
he didn't get to play today. He's been banged up all year, but war chance on Devontae Love Taylor. He had a nice career.
AP seven. We're not going to. So,
I think Parchment set a record for most offensive pass interference calls on a wide receiver.
BS call, by the way, right in that end zone.
Was it?
ACC officiating. Yeah, man, he never even touched the guy.
Okay,
they ran rubber outs the whole game.
Man, they've been out on Parchment all year. Like, they've been out to get them all year.
For Corey Clark, Aslan Hajimandi, Austin Cox, this is Irish NFL signing off from the Swamp with our end to the 2021 season.